subject, czy bez zaskoki, bez woli, bez czynie i wreszcie.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Fundamentalists Podcast, and happy Easter. My name is Elliot Morgan, and I am joined today by my podcasting partner, Dr. Peter Rollins, who just is, I guess, now beginning a very brief reprieve from his holy, being on tour with Rob Bell for the Holy Shift tour, and also coming back from Belfast, where he produced his first short film, and is now in post-production.
That's very true, yes. I like that you said joining me today, as if, does that mean you're secretly thinking about a different co-host?
I think you're on your way out.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You don't want to say just joining me.
I think your days are numbered. Did you see my comment on Rob Bell's photo where I was like, give him back?
Oh, I did see that. That was lovely. That warmed my heart.
Oh, did it? Yeah, good. I was going to do it on more, but I didn't want to, because I didn't want it to detract from the fun vibe Rob was building with my like annoying little
thank you, it's my turn,
pal. No, because I've been away for a while.
I miss you. We just got back from we've been hanging out around the apartment, but it's also your birthday.
Yes,
so happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
What's your plan currently?
My plan currently is that maybe a few of us go out for dinner.
I
do forget, like I was in the airport yesterday and somebody asked me for ID. I was at the bar, I have to say.
And no way.
Yeah. And they said happy birthday and I completely forgotten. And I was like, oh, is it? And then they were like, how can you forget your birthday?
Yeah.
But like, I am 45 now.
Yeah.
You lose track.
You do anything 45 times and
yeah,
you learn forget. To forget. I had another friend who just had a birthday and it's a completely opposite thing where it's still it's a big deal and it's fun to celebrate and I get it, but I can't, I'm kind of like halfway in between you and her.
Like, well, yeah, because you like your celebrations. You like you're like your me time.
I do like my me time. And I also like, but if it's my birthday, I think, and I, because I was married and my ex-wife and I had the same birthday for 10 years. So it's like, I mean, we still have the same birthday. Unless she changed hers. I don't know. You know how it goes in divorce.
You can do that,
like, yeah. Because of that, like, I just don't put a lot of stock in the day. So I don't worry about it too much, but I know, I feel like you're the same way, because you told me, it's like, I had a sinking suspicion that it was at least about to be your birthday, but I didn't know it was today. Yeah. So.
Well, you didn't see the balloons. Did you not wonder why the apartment was like full of 300 balloons
that I'd
spent all morning blowing up?
I just thought it was because your whole latex thing that I've seen.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
This is kind of a, I think, more laid back episode.
Yeah, just a catch up because we missed last Sunday.
Yeah, so it might be a little bit shorter, and we know people who are listening maybe on their way to family events and were on their way back from some kind of church service. And so on that note, in the event that that's the case for people, Pete, do you have any meat, any words of anything for people to chew on in regard to this holiday, which I personally love very much? I'm a big fan of Easter, but it's on your birthday. It's the day. It's Easter Eve. What do you got for
Easter Eve? I like that.
What do you got for folks?
Okay. Well, yeah. I can do a 3-minute sermon.
You're on the clock.
A cross sermon.
You're on. Okay, great.
Okay.
You're on the cross.
We're going. Okay. So yeah, let me give you like a philosophical reflection on the crucifixion.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Oh, and it also reflects back on one of our previous podcasts. So people have to listen to the one about pleasure and enjoyment. Which one was that?
I don't know. I'm sure people do know, but I don't remember. People liked the title though.
Okay,
it wasn't the Macaulay Culkin one. That always is the one that gets referenced the most.
Is that right? Because it's a good title.
It's a good title.
Yeah. Maybe we should, if we named the titles what they actually wear, we wouldn't have this problem we have right now.
But you're right.
There is a previous episode where we looked at the difference between pleasure and enjoyment.
Yes.
And pleasure is kind of the satisfaction of getting something that you want. And it's fleeting. And enjoyment is the satisfaction of waiting. And I think you gave a perfect analogy, which was the kid at Christmas. They're like so waiting for the presents. I want the present. I want the present. And the enjoyment is in the waiting. Even though they look frustrated and angry and they want Christmas to come early, that there's real enjoyment in it. And then the pleasure is when they open the present. And of course, the pleasure is not quite as good as the kind of like the anticipation.
I wish I knew that as a kid.
Yeah.
Because when I realized that as an adult, and I would never think of it in terms of like pleasure and enjoyment, but now the Christmas season is so much better. There's such a big relief to it. There's no, and like, oh, I hope Christmas goes well. Like, I remember that as a kid and be like, I hope I get everything. And it's like, no, I really don't care. Like,
This is why you shouldn't book holidays quickly, because in one sense, as you get older, you realize that you're paying not for the holiday, but for the enjoyment of anticipating the holiday.
You mean holiday by vacation?
Oh, yes. Holidays. Yeah. Do you call it vacation? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the lottery, because I remember in first year philosophy class, they would always have this silly thing where they go, is the lottery worth playing? Like, rationally. As a rational being, should you play the lottery? And the answer in a nutshell is no. But what they never took into consideration is that actually when you play the lottery, you're not playing for the win. You are playing for the win, but you're also playing for the fantasies you can have about what you would buy if you won. And that has to be given some value, because whenever you buy the $1 ticket, you're thinking, oh, I would do this, I would do this, and you're enjoying the fantasy. So the value, what you're really paying for, is you're paying for a fantasy.
I remember when my brother, when I was a kid, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but basically somehow he ended up getting,
the lottery.
He ended up winning the lottery. Things were going well in the Morgan family. But he got broken up with, and he got kind of heartbroken about it. Yeah. And I remember my dad brought home lotto tickets, like just scratch off tickets, just kind of like, hey, you know, I know, you know, thing, you know, you're not feeling well. And so he handed me a lottery ticket, which is a cool, like, parent move, you know. They wasn't like, oh, David gets old. But handed me a lottery ticket, and I did it. And then, we had an AC turn on. Can't have that. Thank you. And so basically it was a fake lotto ticket, and I realized it really quickly. And I started freaking out, and my dad was just like, don't say anything. And so basically he got my brother a fake lotto ticket so that my brother would have the rush of getting $10,000 or something.
Oh my God.
But then it ended up being,
is that your brother who went clinically depressed for 5 years? Is it around the same time?
Yeah, it's my brother who's still not able to talk to people.
Your dad kept it going for 3 weeks, isn't that right?
Yeah. In fact, my dad started sending fake payments of like $20 a week.
Yeah,
like,
he also got into serious debt with the mob, isn't that right?
Yeah, yeah. That's why my brother doesn't have good knees anymore. But anyway, yeah. So he did this thing, and I remember being like, is this the worst thing that like you could do to a heartbroken teenager, is give them a lotto ticket, tells them they're going to get 10 grand and then just rips it away from them? But then thinking in terms of enjoyment versus pleasure, I guess maybe there's something to that like brief moment, that brief pop of pleasure.
Honestly,
that you feel.
That's the sickest thing I've heard. That's amazing. I love that. That's like, it's a throwaway story. I'm
it
like,
is
one of the most torturous things that your father ever did to one of his kids.
Yeah. You know what? Now that you say it like that, I'm reframing it.
That's like whenever you're a kid. When you were a kid, like pretend you were dead to scare your parents,
and then just didn't care.
Well, no. I was going like, I did it once, and then my mom started crying badly, and I was like, oh, this is a practical joke that kind of like in reflection might have gone too far.
Yeah. So, oh, I did just pretend to take from her what she cares about most in this world.
I mean, the fact that I had a suicide note and I was hanging from the ceiling added to the whole theater.
And the fact that you did sincerely try to make it a real thing was also adding. And only in retrospect did you change your story. Anyway, so pleasure versus enjoyment, a Christmas gift.
And by the way, just one more superfluous example. My sister, when we both got chocolate or eggs at Easter, I would always eat mine straight away because I wanted the pleasure, and I would eat it. But she would just take one nibble and then she would put it in the fridge. And then she would go and she would make it last for like 6 months. And it really annoyed me.
That's an absolute.
It's awful. But no, but see, she understood that the enjoyment was the not having the Easter egg, and also the enjoyment of annoying me.
Yeah.
Whereas I stupidly was just like, I want it now. It's like the marshmallow test, you know, where you give a kid, you say you can eat one marshmallow now or two, and then you've already eaten the first one or two if you wait.
Did you hear the one that, or I heard somebody talking about that, and then there's a video now of a kid who takes the marshmallow and carves out the inside from the bottom of the marshmallow. He doesn't know he's being filmed. So he like tears the middle of it and then eats it and then puts it back to make it look like there's still a whole marshmallow there.
No way.
Yeah.
That guy is going to be the next CEO of like Google.
Exactly.
Well, this all brings me to my Easter sermon.
Okay, yes.
And the Easter sermon is this. In that episode, it's like, I think I gave them the technical terms, which is there's the object of desire, what you want, and the object cause of desire, which is what gets in the way and generates your desire. So I think that's all covered in the previous episode for nerds. I like this is in-house baseball at this point. Like, is that what the term? I'm not American. Did I say that wrong?
Spaceballs?
Spaceballs. This is Spaceballs.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good movie.
I was zoning out because I was thinking about some thing where somebody said a perfect analogy for
you. Literally weren't listening to me.
Not
I noticed
even a
that
bit.
I saw that you literally just didn't care.
Nah, I got it.
That is not good news for the people listening.
Happy birthday. I wasn't paying attention to what you were saying. But on that, what mirrors that also is somebody said, and I'm just going to completely derail. We've had some mezcal. We're drinking mezcal right now. Yeah.
But we are going to get back onto the point.
Yes.
I promise. Yeah.
But on the object cause of desire and the
object of desire.
Somebody said you're the object of desire, and then I'm the object cause of desire.
That was funny.
And I think that is the perfect like analogy for this podcast. Even as I say this, I'm doing exactly that. I'm like, stop talking. Let me give you my bullshit.
You're interrupting to give the comment about the interruptions.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And also to tell you that I wasn't paying attention. Just cast aside. But anyway, okay.
I know. But people say to me sometimes, they'll go like, Pete, you could be a really good speaker if only you like slowed down a little bit and didn't get lost all the time. And I'm like, no. If I stopped getting lost all the time and if I slowed down, you'd have a crap talk and you wouldn't even have the illusion that I could be a good speaker.
Yeah.
But at the moment, what they've got is at least the illusion that I could be a good speaker. And that is that's the object cause and the object of desire. Well, for me, a philosophical reading of the crucifixion is that the object of desire and the object cause of desire are found in the same location, which means, like, in our society, in neoliberalism, consumer society, we can't enjoy our enjoyment. In other words, we hate the struggle. We think that that's where all the suffering is. And we can only take some pleasure in the thing that is just over the horizon that we might get. So we're always in shit form. We're always a bit depressed. We're always struggling for something that's in the future.
Yep.
So for me, Christianity is the name for a type of desire in which the enjoyment and pleasure are united in one place. In other words, where you realize that you enjoy the struggle of life and not just kind of like these end goals in life.
But you also enjoy the end goals. Is that kind of what you're saying?
You can enjoy, like in football, we talked about that as well, where you can enjoy the wins of your football team, but you more enjoy being with your football team through the thick and thin, whenever they're losing, whenever they're struggling.
Yeah. That's why people hate fair weather fans so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're always just looking for the pleasure, not the enjoyment.
Yeah.
So the reason why I think Christianity is the invention or the name of a different type of desire is because in Christianity, Christ is the object cause of desire, and God is the object of desire. So, in other words, people want God. They want the wholeness, completeness. They want God. And in the Christian narrative, Christ is the one you have to kill to get to God. Crucify Christ. Get rid of Christ.
Dang.
To get to God.
Dang.
And then the insight of Christianity is that the thing that gets in the way of God is God. In other words, the thing that gets in the way of your object of desire is your object of desire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at a philosophical level, Christianity is not about belief in God or gods or anything like that. It's the articulation of a different modality of desire that frees us from contemporary consumerist desire forms and all of the problems with contemporary ways of living in the world.
Amen.
Ooh, amen.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
By the way,
I
just articulated the whole of pyro theology, which is my
you
project
did the whole thing
in 3 minutes.
And you should, if ever there was one to do that on, it's the one that is on your birthday on Easter weekend.
You know what?
It makes sense.
I had a patron for 3 years, mm-hmm. and who is a great friend now, who helped me, supported me for 3 years when I was in a squat in Belfast unemployed, right? And he brought me to America, and he said, I'm going to give you 3 years to...
Is it like the movie Jungle to Jungle?
I've never seen that. What happens in that?
Jungle to Jungle is about...
I want to watch that tonight. That's my birthday. Can that be my birthday wish?
Yeah, if you want to experience definitely, let's say, I guess it would be enjoyment on your birthday.
Okay.
Definitely very little pleasure. If you're waiting for a good movie...
Yeah.
you know, Jungle to Jungle will be the object cause of your desire. But I assume maybe it's a great movie. But it's about Tim Allen from Home Improvement, who then brings like a guy over, a kid over from the jungle. And then they learn that, oh my gosh, the New York City is very much like a jungle too. And it's about this like Tarzanish kid.
Is that not called Crocodile Dundee?
Same idea. It's all the same idea. Yeah. Right.
It just feels like you've just literally done the synopsis of Crocodile
Dundee. It's very much that, yeah. Except a kid, and then Tim Allen's like kind of the businessman. So there's a little bit of an odd couple dynamic with it too. So there's a lot going on. And I'm not going to make this a film theory podcast, but let's just say, got some nuanced things in that movie. But anyway, that's what it sounds like your patron brought you over from a squat and was like, this is a toilet. This is what we call a kitchen.
He kind of did. I mean, it was quite incredible. And someday we'll talk about this podcast. But what happened? Why was I telling you about the patronage? Oh, yeah, because he always wanted me to have an elevator speech. He says, Pete, you have to work on being able to articulate what you think in an elevator ride. And I never was able to do it. But I think on my 45th birthday on the Fundamentalist podcast, I finally did it. But we have had a few drinks.
So. Well, and it's also, I mean, it was very succinct, which was, great.
Did it make sense?
I think you hit it out of the park, because when you were first pitching it to me, because we do talk about, believe it or not, folks, we do talk about these podcasts before we do it, and you were saying something about all that, and I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious, because I knew I wasn't making sense, and you just went, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then you hit play on the
recorder. You'll find some gold. Don't worry.
It doesn't matter. I love, you're like, there's an episode of The Simpsons where the clown guy goes into this
Krusty
booth. What's it?
Krusty.
That's right. He goes into this booth to kind of do these sound bites, and he does them all in like 5 seconds, and he says, that's how a pro does it, and he walks out. And of course, the joke in the show is they weren't recording, but the point was, he's such a pro that he just walks in, he just gets started. Yep. And that's what you're like with this podcast. I want to sit for 3 hours and discuss the exact kind of like structure of the thing, and you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm going to hit play.
Yep.
And we're going to see what happens.
Yep. Exactly. Because we had that conversation. We're like, well, if we don't like it, we'll just toss it.
Well, that's right. That's a cool thing.
Anyway, so, okay. What that made me think of was a buddy of mine, one of my favorite people in the world. His name's Jarrett. And Jarrett Sleeper, follow him on Instagram, folks. He's a wonderful, beautiful human being. And he's basically model-esque. If you want a guru type, he's like a sex symbol for LA wokeness.
I think. Is that right?
Yeah. And if you love it, if you're into that, follow him. He's great. And he's about to start a podcast. Oh, and I want to talk to you. I want to be on his podcast. We need to be on his podcast.
Very good.
And so anyway, he did this thing where it was just an Instagram story, and he was talking about, he passed a yoga place, and the yoga place, it was Namaste LA.
Oh, it was what it was called. Nice.
And then the slogan that they had on their marquee was, we flow hard. And then he's like doing this, like,
that sounds like an advert for feminine products.
Oh, I was going to say like an erectile dysfunction ad or something.
Oh, right. Okay.
Or something like that. But
we covered both genders.
Exactly.
There.
Yes. And that's what we do here. Yep. And so he was basically like, oh, the capitalist thing. He's like, we're a yoga place. He's like, so the capitalist thing means we have to have a catchy slogan. He's like, but we flow hard implies that there's some place to get to. That if you flow harder, you're going to get to that place. And he's like, but yoga is a thousands-year-old tradition that's based in, you know what? You and your breath are all that you need, and you are whole as it stands. And it's so, and I was like, that's so funny that he's identifying that like thing where you're like, oh, if I get to that next level, that'll be the pleasure. But then yoga is all based in just like, you know, enjoyment. I mean,
that's the brilliant thing about what we can do, is we can take something that is about detaching ourselves from the frenetic pursuit of the sacred object, and we can make that into the sacred object. So I am so going to detach from reality that I am going to be so blissful.
Yeah.
But that becomes its own goal-oriented thing.
Right.
And of course, there's a form of Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, that is very brilliant at trying to crack that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's a fascinating way of trying to like stop people from making even the unplugging from society into its own
goal. I love it.
Because that's what we basically are, batteries plugged into the world. Like, it's not our consciousness that feeds our political and ideological systems. It's our pleasure. So like you've got people, have we talked about this before, watching the Kardashians? There's people who watch it seriously and there's people who watch it ironically, but both still show up the same. And my favorite comedians, Mitchell and Webb, have a very funny skit about this. I'll have to put it up on my Twitter. But basically, it's like, it's not that you dislike the Kardashians that is going to take it off the air, because the fact that you're watching it is what makes it work.
Yeah. So, similarly, the exact same thing I'm experiencing, and I had this conversation, and you know what? I bet what happened was we had talked about it, and I brought it up on the Valley Cast, but in terms of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and I've been watching that show, and it is the epitome of there being, it's a phenomenon, and it's what amazes me about it is there is, like you're saying, there's a group of people who watch this show and they buy in to this, you know, man who's choosing from 20 women who are all wanting to marry him and fall in love with him. And then they do end up kind of falling for each other, and they do end up falling in love, because who wouldn't if you're in that environment and you're surrounded by food and alcohol and a mansion and in the
romantic. I've got a friend who was on The Bachelor.
Really?
With The Bachelor, a guy called Brady Tripps, who's become a good friend of mine. Supposedly, I haven't watched it. I don't know what it is, but he told me after I got to know him that he was on this show and that he fell for the girl, and I think either he got kicked off the show or she got kicked off the show, but then they pursued their relationship outside
of it. A lot of times that happens. That was the most recent one, where this guy reached out on Instagram, because they keep their social medias all, you know, locked down, and then they film everything beforehand. Super smart. But anyway, that show, you can, if you want, you can make fun of every single thing in it. And yet there are people who watch it who are just like, I hope, you know, and they believe the lie.
Here's the crazy thing, and this is what Zizek talks about, is like, you could have a show where there is actually nobody who's naively watching it. Like, it's so stupid. But what you have is you have a lot of self-aware people who fantasize that there's a naive viewer. So the primary enjoyment of watching it.
I love that. I love that.
The primary, and this is how this is actually how the shows function. The shows function not primarily to appeal to the naive viewer, but to appeal to the non-naive viewer who enjoys the fantasy that's created by the show that there is a naive viewer.
Dude, I think you're right, and I think I'm totally wrong. I think everyone watches that show thinking everyone else is watching it sincerely.
Yeah.
And that makes it fun, because you feel like you're in. That's why there's so many viewing parties for The Bachelor, is because you get together and you're like, we all know, and we make jokes about it, and we did it. And it's just, it turns your whole experience into laugh tracks, basically.
Like, if you want the perfect example of this, stop listening to the podcast now and type in Mitchell and Webb and You're Fired. And you'll see a nice clip that gets us, because in a sense, what these shows are appealing to primarily are ironic viewers fantasizing that there are non-ironic viewers and then laughing at them. Now, and the reason why I brought this up is because Zen Buddhism, just like monasticism, is a technology that's designed to unplug you libidinally from the system. So it's not designed to get you to intellectually critique something, but for you to detach your material kind of involvement in some oppressive system. Now, whether or not they succeed, that's a different question, but that's kind of what they're aiming to do.
I don't know if this is Zen Buddhism or not, but I was watching this just made me, because you said Zen, I watched the first part, and I'm going to watch the second part probably tonight, of the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling on HBO.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it just came out, and it's a documentary. And Gary Shandling is my favorite comedian of all time.
Because there's the Motorcycle Diaries of Che Guevara, is what it sounds like. It sounds like are they playing off that?
Maybe.
I
think that might be like a trope thing, too, because it's kind of, isn't there something with the something something of somebody, like a... What's movie that Johnny Depp was in that was based off of what's his name?
I don't know what that is, but I do know that way of writing, that kind of like kind of what
the blank the blank of blank blanks.
Yeah, it sounds good. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, but Gary Shandling is my favorite ever, and I hate that he's gone. But he was very into that stuff, and it's all the I gotta show it to you, because it is thematically very on point with a lot of the stuff we're talking about, because he I just love him very much. But anyway, that's it separate. When that's done, we'll talk about. When this is over, we'll talk
so
about
are you,
that.
Are you, like, are you, what are we saying then?
I'm saying we need to end. When you said stop listening to the podcast and go watch Mitchell and Webb, I was like, I want to stop listening to the podcast and show you this documentary.
Well, let's do that tonight.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, great. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
You get to watch me nerd out over Gary Shandling.
Yeah, but you're great. Like, you reintroduced me to Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
Unbelievable.
Such a good
movie. My favorite of all time.
And I've heard Coco is very good. You talked about Coco in the last thing. I didn't even know what that was. I thought that was some vintage thing, but that's just out at the moment. So you as an adult went to see a kid's movie with kids, obviously. You were obviously babysitting or something.
No, it's nothing that creepy. I sat in an apartment with four other adults and we watched it together and all cried.
Oh, wow.
It was me and the Valley Folk kids, and we sat and we do this thing where it's like, it's really hard for us to schedule things to do things. And then when we're done doing whatever we do, all of a sudden we'll just be like, well, you guys want to watch a movie or something? And then we watch, you know. Yeah. And so one of them was Coco, and I cried a lot, and it changed my life. So
yeah,
definitely recommend it. Okay. Easter. Well, let's
close up that.
Yes.
Thought.
So,
so Christianity is a form of life, a form of being in the world in which the object of desire and the object cause of desire are unified, which means it's a freeing individuals from a certain form of desire that fuels most of the problems that we see in contemporary society and opens up a different way of being. And it doesn't matter if you're a theist, an atheist, agnostic or agnostic, doesn't matter.
Love it, man. I told you about my spiritual guy who popped up to me.
I told you how he did the trick, because this happened to me. This is a good story. I don't know if it is, but it's funny.
Will
I tell mine first or yours first?
I think you should tell yours first.
Okay, mine first, because a few weeks ago, I was walking down the street, and a guy, an Indian guy in a turban, very spiritual looking, he put a piece of blank paper in my hand, and then he asked me, what do you want to get out of life? What your favorite color is, and a third question, I forget. And then I opened my hand, and those three things were written on the piece of paper. Now, to be honest with you, I worked out how he did it, and it's a very simple misdirection trick. But he did this, and then he obviously asked for a tip. But he was a lovely guy. It was just a wee magic trick, but he also gave me a nice kind of like vision of my future. So that happened to me.
Did you get a stone?
What's that?
Did he give you
a
stone?
No, he didn't give me a stone, and I did tip him. Whereas you didn't tip him, and you got a stone.
I got a stone even before I tipped him, dude.
Okay, well, by the way, here's how he did it.
Get on my level, dude.
Because I kind of am into magic, but it took me a while to work on it.
I think you're wrong.
No, I was totally right. Nah. You just misremember, because that's how magic works. It's misdirection. You're so gullible that you can't even remember when he took the piece of paper out of your hand and swapped it.
Mm-hmm.
You literally can't think of that. You're like, he is in league with God or the devil or some spiritual realm that you cannot see.
Of course, I'm not that at all. I think he just happens to be in tune with the flow of the universe. He flows hard.
He flows hard. That's what I've heard. So what happened to you?
A very similar thing. I would bet money it's the same guy. But he came in and I was getting my hair cut. And by Johnny at Headbetter in Studio City,
because he's such a good guy.
He's the
honestly,
best.
Honestly, I've never met a guy with as many stories, and they're true stories. That's
true
the
stories
problem.
And great stories.
And great stories. Like every time I sit down, there's some amazing story about his engagement or his past or his uncle or like, he incredible.
Great. He's one of my favorites. So if you're in LA, definitely go.
Yeah, get your hair cut, partly because he's a great hairdresser and partly because he's a great guy.
Dude, he mentioned like the moon landing being faked, and I think I may have brought this up on a podcast, at least at the Valley Cast, on the Valley
Cast.
Oh,
you did in the Valley Cast?
Yeah, and then there, you know, we were talking back and forth, but I was telling Johnny about bringing him up, and he was like, you didn't give me credit, did you? You just acted like, and I was like, no, of course I gave you credit. Yeah. Like I wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't own the idea that I don't believe in the moon landing. I would obviously put that off on somebody. Yeah. So I loved like, how you just became the fall guy.
And when I listened to that, you were like, you're partly convinced. And then what I loved what you did is you said, no, but I do believe in the moon.
Yeah.
And that was a very good line.
But it was totally, that was not intended.
That was very good.
Anyway, so he comes in and the guy and Johnny's like, oh, swarmy, I think it's something like that. It's like a word for a spiritual guide. I'm butchering it every time I say it. But anyway, he's like, talk to Elliot for a second. He comes up to me and he's like, you're an artist. And I was like, oh, I'd like, you know, like to think so. And I was like, he was like, what do you do?
See, this is, I immediately knew he's full of shit. If he thinks you're an artist.
Exactly.
He has no ability to read.
Here's people. The funny thing. So he goes, yeah, exactly. He doesn't get it.
He's a wannabe artist. If he said, you're a wannabe artist.
He kind of did actually have, because I told him I was a comedian, and then he was like, but you're a writer as well. And I was like, well, yeah, which is hard to not, it's hard to be one without being the other.
Yeah. No, I don't write any of the jokes down.
Yeah, exactly. No, I actually say them. I'm a sayer. But he was like, well, you should write more. He was like, writing is how you're going to like give to the world. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't think this guy likes comedy, or he's got some kind of stigma about comedians, because he kind of seems to be shitting on the idea of like comedy inherently. Because she's like, writing is how you're actually going to help people.
Yeah,
and like comedy is just this thing that you're
doing. Write more, by the way, is a great thing, because of course every writer, that's going to be true for. Like, I wish I was, I'd love to do this game. It's so easy to do this, where you say things to people that sound like it's really speaking to you.
Yeah.
But it's like literally speaking to every single person.
It's like walking up to a bodybuilder and being like, you should just, I think you're on the right path, but if you just benched a little bit more, just a little bit more.
That's right. Listen, I think you feel like you're underappreciated. Mm-hmm. You feel like you haven't got quite where you want to be in your life. You felt that there are some obstacles in your existence. Anyway, keep going.
I will say there were some similarities that were pretty solid.
Is that right?
Yeah, but just enough to make me go, all right. You know, at least a little better than previous ones that I've
seen. He said, like, you have a good looking housemate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you live with a philosopher. And I was like, okay, well, this is getting scary. But anyway, yeah, so he gave me a stone and then asked for some money.
No, but he also did the trick.
He did the trick, yes.
Elliot's literally going, I think the spirits are at work, because he put a blank piece of paper in my hand and everything you said is written in it.
I don't get how he would have done it.
You know, I told you how he did it. He said to you...
The timing doesn't make sense, though. I know I was gripping it.
No, but that's the thing. What you forget is... Because I don't even know, but I can guarantee this is what he did. He said to you something like, you know, kiss your hand and put it on your forehead.
He didn't say any of that.
Something, right...
First but you're all, saying something is like that, and okay. I'm not remembering it specifically, okay. And I get it. I know where you're, I get it.
Okay,
I get
well, here's what I think he did, and I want to hear you say if he didn't do it, right? Because you're kind of saying this.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, how do I do it? And then he basically takes a piece of paper out of your hand and shows you what to do with it, and then puts it back in your hand. But he doesn't put it back in your hand. That's where the sleight of hand is. He puts in the other piece of paper. That's how the trick is usually done, but... Did he not at any point touch
for
the
sure
piece of paper?
For sure he did. For sure.
He did
sure.
or didn't?
He had to have done something.
Did he? Did he touch the paper at any stage after it was in your hand?
All I know, Peter, is that there is a...
You gave him all your money.
Yeah.
All I know
is I'm
is
broke.
That I gave him my credit card details and and wrote him a blank check.
Dude, that's what Johnny, because there was like, you need a credit card machine, man. So he's like, people don't... And he goes, oh, if I had a credit card machine, it kills the blessing. It's not a blessing. It needs to be a transactional hand.
It needs to be cash, because also the IRS.
By blessing, I mean the IRSing.
Yes.
It's a very spiritual...
Yeah.
The bottom line is I'm going to be rich in October, is what he said, so I'm excited.
Oh, that's good. That's
and if
good.
I am, and I'm keeping my stone. I'm not...
Right? Oh, you're not...
Oh, and he also emphasized, he gave me a little stone, he said, don't give this to anybody. Yeah. Like, I'm going to walk out and be like, who wants a stone?
Listen, I had this experience in Belfast. I went to a shop with a friend. She's into this kind of stuff. And the person, you know, said some things to me about you're a writer and you need to write more personally. And I got some stones out of it. And, you know, although I kind of know how all of that stuff's done a little bit, I was still very touched by it.
That's the thing. I think that there's something to be said for, like, not skepticism implies that you're not, you know, trustworthy or trusting of a situation. But I think it's like, I can fully believe that there's nothing to it.
And here,
but it's fun to not sometimes.
But here the thing is, the truth is spoken in a lie. This is another psychoanalytic idea, but often, you know, you can have a lie. Like, what's the phrase? You know, politicians tell the truth but speak lies, and artists speak lies but tell the truth. Mm-hmm. In other words, an artist tells a fictional story, but the fictional story hits the truth. But in the same way, you can have someone speak into your life, and in a sense, they're spinning a yarn, a lie, they don't even know it themselves. They're just picking up stuff. They're reading you, and actually in the lie there is a deep truth. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there's no point in being skeptical about all these beautiful things that happen, because actually the greatest truths are often spoken in myths and lies, whereas the greatest lies are often spoken in truth.
I turned on a special by Kyle Kinane, who's a very funny comedian, last night, and I've never really seen any of his stuff, so I can't really say it's very funny, but I enjoyed his special, or his half hour, and it was like, he said something along the lines of like, I'm not an atheist, I can't commit, because what do you win? Like, what do you get out of it? Like, oh, there's nothing, and I'm a cool guy. And I was like, that's a very funny thing, where it's like, what do you gain out of being like, oh, it's not real. Like, okay, congrats, it's not real. But like, what do you gain out of that? It's more fun, in my opinion, to be like, oh, it's not real. But also, like, well, you know, maybe what if?
Yeah.
Like,
but also, who knows? Yeah, on that, actually, you know, for on both sides, if you take the atheist-theist thing, if you're an atheist, and very adamantly so, you will miss out on, say, you might not want to read Pascal or Aristotle or Aquinas, or not Aristotle, sorry, Aquinas, but you're missing out on incredible depths of truth. I mean, if you read Pascal, you can't help but think this guy understands the depth of human being. And if you're a theist and you're anti-atheism, you'll miss out on the incredible depths of people like Nietzsche and Schopenhauer and Feuerbach. And so whether or not you think that the other side is true or false, forget that for a second and go, I'm going to read it and see if instead of thinking about empirically true or false, I can read the other side and experience a greater depth of understanding of life. And on both sides, you're going to benefit from reading the best of the other.
That's good stuff.
Oh, here, what about the wine thing? Maybe we should end on that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we never mentioned it, but two people have tweeted this. Literally, I think two people have done it so far, but that's good.
I'll take two.
But I don't know any of the details, because that's your world.
Well, it's trywink.com/thefundamentalists, and it's WINC. And actually, people in our building use it. I went down and there's like a bunch of boxes from them. So they're very popular. But if you go and if you use that URL, you can get $25 off of your first order. You can cancel at any time, and I highly recommend doing it. And if you do that, then we get some money.
And is there anything you want to tell people about that you're doing? And I might have something myself. That's why I'm saying it.
Oh, self-promotion.
Yeah, self-promotion. What's your self-promotion?
Oh, thank you so much. Good. Thank it. Yeah. I'm going to be in Indianapolis on Wednesday at Crackers Comedy Club. And so if you're in that area, I would love to meet you and chat with you. And my parents are going to be there. And afterward, we're going to go to a bar.
I love the way you always say that. You always say your parents are going to be there, because that's some big deal, because you always say it.
Yep, it's it
like,
is.
Is it scary?
It's horrifying. You ever said jokes about sex in front of your parents?
No.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that kind of stuff.
Stressful, yeah.
My parents have never had sex, as far as I know.
There's no way to know.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And I don't mind it too much, but it is like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, it adds something. It's definitely just one more layer. But anyway, my parents are going to be there. I just keep saying it. But so that's my thing.
Yeah. My thing is, well, what am I doing? I have got two festivals coming up. Now, it's much bigger than spending, $20 on a comedy show as to spend thousands coming to Ireland.
Well,
but I do.
Worth it, though.
Yeah. I do a 5-day festival in April, which I'm excited about, and a 5-day festival in November in Ireland.
And you're talking about Wake, and you're talking about
Wake and Spark.
Spark.
Spark is about people who want to unleash their creativity.
Cool.
But as you know, but it's a big commitment to come all the way to Ireland.
Isn't it funny?
I'm selfish.
Aren't good at selling ourselves.
No, but here's the thing: it's just a selfish thing. I just love going home.
Yeah.
And I had to find a way to kind of like go home and show it to people, other people, and also like so as I can afford to go home. And I was like, I'll do a festival, because then I can selfishly show 100 people my favorite city in the world. We drink together, hang out together, and
I know
then
what
also
you're doing,
I get home.
But you're also, you do this thing, we've had this conversation before, you do undersell yourself, because I've seen what you do at this festival, and it is incredibly unique and cool and weird and different. And I've talked to people who've gone, and it's an incredibly like life-altering experience for a lot of people. And so I know that you get pleasure out of it, or whatever you want to would call it. But people do. You offer a very good experience for people.
Well, I work with an incredible guy. Yep. Runs festivals for a living, so very exciting. Some of you may be going already, and otherwise, go check out my website to find out more.
Yeah, I think we both do that thing where it's like, I only know.
Well, that's yeah, it's good. That's a very Irish thing, but it's good you do it as well. So that's good. It's very kind of self-deprecation.
Not taking it
not taking yourself too seriously. Well, that's the whole point of most of our podcasts, is that with the exception of my festivals, nothing will satisfy you. So that's kind of like
with the exception of my live comedy shows.
Yeah, exactly. Your live comedy shows, my events, buying my books. Those are the only things that work. Everything else doesn't work. Yeah. And that's basically what we're saying. And enjoy the fact that it doesn't work.
Love that. So let's end on a not final thoughts. We're going to switch it up. It's a special holiday.
We've kind of done our final thoughts.
So many final thoughts. Yeah. So name, tomorrow is Easter. Yeah. What food are you looking forward to? What's like if you had like an Easter hearty, just like holiday food, what does your plate look like? What are you most going to, we can dive into first.
First of all, I love chocolate. And by the way, for all of the wonder of America, and I do love this country because I live here and I think it's amazing and you do so many things well, but I have to say it, I don't think you do chocolate well.
Okay.
And that's maybe a bold claim.
We said you're going to end up saying some controversial stuff.
Yeah, probably going to get kicked out. This is the most controversial thing I've said. Except when you find these artisan shops or whatever, but I do love chocolate. So my ideal Easter Sunday is I love Easter eggs. I love digging into them. That's probably the thing.
Chocolate Easter eggs?
Easter eggs, yeah. Do you do Easter eggs here much?
Well, yeah. I mean, like you hide eggs, but they're like plastic eggs.
No, we don't do that. No, chocolate eggs. Do you give chocolate eggs as gifts?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Because
it comes in the basket.
Do you do kind of like massive eggs, like the kind of egg that a dinosaur would lay?
No. For those who aren't with us right now, Pete is holding his hands like a foot apart. No, we don't do like giant eggs, but we do like,
you don't?
No, we'll do like a bunny shaped piece of chocolate that comes in a saran wrap that's like Reese's.
We don't do that stuff so much. I mean, you can buy those in grocery stores.
Yeah,
But what we do is you get like a good quality, I'm sure you do. You're missing out on something. You're missing out on a trick.
I mean, I'm sure that there are
but it's not like a common thing. Back home, everyone gives everybody big Easter eggs, good quality chocolate.
Big
eggs of chocolate.
Well, that sounds 1,000 times better than what we do.
Oh, it's so good. And then inside the egg is like an extra treat. So you're kind of like excited about the inside of the egg and not just the egg. And I love that. And I won't be able to get a good Easter egg here then.
No, man. It's going to be a bad day for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if you want a good burger, you can't get one back home. You have to be in America to get a good burger.
Ooh, see, and that's more important to me.
That is probably,
I was just going to say casseroles.
So what would you, casserole?
Any kind of casserole. Tuna casserole, broccoli casserole, green bean casserole.
Man, I very rarely see you in the kitchen, but anytime you're in the kitchen, it's like you're making a casserole.
Well,
which is great for me because I love it.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who, I made a roast on Monday, and somebody was like, "You made a roast on Monday?" And they were very
well,
kind about it.
Is the roast that you do more? Is it the roast that you always do?
A lot of roast. A lot of roast.
You love that machine.
Food.
It's that whatever that crock thing pot. Is. Crock pot. You love the crock pot.
It's nice. It makes me feel homey. You start it in the morning, and then there's something about your fingers smelling like onion at 9 a.m. that makes me feel very at home. It's like, it feels very holiday. So that's my...
Yeah.
I wish I had a big meal, but I probably just don't feel like going to eat.
Okay, so you're casserole, I'm chocolate eggs.
Great.
Wonderful.
Thank you for watching or listening to Fundamentalists, everybody. And happy birthday, Pete.
Thank you.